All right, today we turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. We are in a sermon series from the book of Proverbs, looking at some selected chapters for our encouragement and exhortation. We started off from Proverbs 3 with a message on trusting and fearing Yahweh, the Lord. The overarching dominant theme in the book of Proverbs is a wisdom that rises out of fearing the Lord, obeying Him and honoring Him and revering Him over all things. And then we looked in Proverbs 8 with a message on wisdom is calling, are we listening? Where wisdom is personified as a woman and she's speaking and calling out and we're commanded to hear and live accordingly. And that brings us to the title for today's message, The Tongue of the Wise. Or the mouth of a fool, which best represents us. And perhaps it depends on the day or the occasion, but by God's grace, may we be exhorted and also encouraged today to embrace the tongue of the wise and to reject the mouth of a fool. Proverbs 15 here comes in a context where there is an emphasis on the wise speaking and those who seek to be wise listening. Including those who are already wise. Part of wisdom is that we continue to seek wisdom. And also, in our here in this context, there's an emphasis on the fact that listening leads to wise speaking, and that the heart drives the words of the mouth. So let's pick up Proverbs 15, and we'll begin verse 1, we'll look at 7 verses for our purposes today. Sorry, I'm going to need one of these mics. It's going to distract me. Proverbs 15, we'll begin in verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent.
Amen.
Amen. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Let's pray. We praise you, Yahweh, God of wisdom. We praise you, Jesus, the power and wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for these words, these proverbs that have been written down. May you bless us to take them to heart as we feed on your word this hour. May you do a sanctifying work in us, that we would be a people whose tongue is of the wise and who rejects the mouth of the fool. And that through godly words, instruction, and wisdom, we as a people might be built up and your gospel would go forth and you would get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. These verses have overlapping themes. We'll take them one at a time. And you'll notice there's a contrast or a comparison that shows a contrast in each one of these verses. And I'll sum up each verse with a short phrase in the form of a question that is designed to exhort us and encourage us to embrace the tongue of the wise and reject the mouth of the fool. So verse 1, a soft answer or a harsh word, which reflects us. A soft answer. A soft answer turns away wrath.
No, that's not going to work either.
I'll try again. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Wisdom and fearing the Lord are two interconnected dominant themes in Proverbs. And one of the marks of those who are wise, who fear the Lord, is a godly tongue. The tongue of the wise. Among other things, the tongue of the wise speaks...
I'm just going to shut this off. Yeah, on the live stream, you may not be able to hear me as well, but we get the sound system right, and then it goes bad. All right, a soft answer or a harsh word. Among other things, the tongue of the wise speaks soft answers amidst conflict. There's a time for speaking a word that is not popular and that is challenging. We'll get to that in verse 5. But here in the context, the idea is that you speak a soft word that's going against the evil direction that a hostile situation is headed, and so forth. Thank you, Peggy.
Pick it up a little bit more. It's on.
Thank you.
And a soft answer.
One more second.
A soft answer goes against the direction when there's a hostile situation that is becoming more hostile, or a situation that's headed in that direction. And the call to speak soft answers, as I said, doesn't mean that we never speak something that's confrontational. Jesus was the master at speaking words that people didn't want to hear, including his own disciples. Words of confrontation and rebuke and so forth. We'll get to that in verse 5. But generally speaking, in our day-to-day lives, the idea here is that we need words that are soft. A soft answer when the situation is headed into a hostile conflict. And we are in desperate need today of having a lot more soft answers. In the words of our mouth, the words of one another, in the words of the culture, mainstream, and so forth. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. And the soft answer goes along with a way of life in which we do at times want to speak words that are going to be confrontational, words of reproof and so forth. Again, we'll get to that in verse 5. But that should rise out of a context in which we are a people whose words are soft and are countering when something's heading in a conflict type of situation. And let me group three things here that go together that will help us. Because we need the prophetic voice in our lives, in the church, in the culture today. We need words that are not popular. But that should rise out of a people who is embracing at least three things among others. One is we are a people who loves. We love Jesus, we love one another, we love our neighbors and our enemies. So our prophetic voice rises out of love. Number two, it rises out of a people who've embraced the way of being a servant. And number three, it rises out of a people who has a godly tongue, who's not prone to hostile words, who gives soft answers. So that when we then do speak up a word of reproof or discipline or correction, it's coming from a people who is, as a way of life, walking in love, walking as servants, and who has a godly tongue overall. But when we receive a word of correction or reproof or so forth from someone who's always negative, who's hostile and so forth, we don't want to hear it because it's there they go again. But a soft answer turns away wrath.
A harsh word, however, stirs up anger. And boy, do we have a lot of harsh words in our world today. In our families, in our workplaces, with our friends, on social media, in politics, in life in general, a lot of harsh words stirring up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. Let's be a people who's embracing the words of soft answers. So when a conflict is rising, it doesn't mean we avoid the conflict. Doesn't mean we be people pleasers. But we use words initially and as a foundation that are soft, that are encouraging, that are seeking to bring peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then so that we're given a foundation that when we do need to correct or reproof or rebuke, it's going to be much more likely to be received. Verse 2. Commending knowledge or pouring out folly. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The tongue of the wise commending knowledge, praising knowledge, approving of knowledge, biblical knowledge, not just intelligence, but a biblical knowledge that rises out of a wisdom that comes from fearing the Lord. A knowledge that is gleaned from being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, as James says. And it's a knowledge that comes from humility and hard work and time being invested. Because part of the contrast here is that the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, it praises knowledge, it takes time to get knowledge before it speaks. In contrast to the mouth of fools that just pours out folly. People who just want to speak before they've really thought, before they've investigated the issue. They just want to run off at the mouth and they're more concerned about what they have to say than actually the truth. Commending knowledge comes from the tongue of the wise. Pouring out folly comes from the mouth of fools, which is true of us. We want to be a people that commends knowledge, praises knowledge, which first of all means we are receiving it. We're taking it to heart. And before we speak and before we run off at the mouth, we get the facts. We get the whole story as much as possible. Now, none of us sees everything perfectly or completely. But we do the hard work of trying to find out what's going on in the situation before we run off at the mouth about it. And we commend knowledge, what God would have to say about that situation, which includes gleaning from the wisdom of one another. So let's commend knowledge. Let's praise biblical knowledge. And let's not be people who are pouring out folly, just running off at the mouth on what we have to say, foolishness, and so forth. We're commending knowledge. We're not pouring out folly. The tendency in our sin nature is to gravitate toward the mouth of the fool, gushing or pouring out words of folly, especially when we're angry or we're afraid, we're jealous, we're bitter, we're insecure, or ultimately we're just simply not delighting ourselves in the Lord, who does give us the desire of our heart, but that's after we delight ourselves in Him. And part of the reason He gives us the desire of our heart when we delight in Him is because the desires of our heart are sanctified and changed according to who He is in His will. But part of the reason that we gravitate toward pouring out folly, running off at the mouth like with the mouth of a fool, is when we're not satisfied on the inside because we haven't delighted ourselves in the Lord. But those who are seeking to delight themselves in the Lord are going to commend knowledge. They're going to have the tongue of a wise person. Because our hearts are being sanctified and so forth. So let's be a people who's commending knowledge because we have the tongue of the wise. We're not pouring out folly, just running off at the mouth with harsh words or gossip or bitterness because we're rejecting the mouth of a fool. Verse 3. Judged as evil or good? The eyes of the Lord keep watch. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. If you're reading through these verses, in some ways this feels like an interruption, almost an interruption to the flow of thought. Because there's a contrast going on, and then all of a sudden the eyes of the Lord, and it can kind of catch you, are in every place. Not, first of all, it's a kind of an interruption in the way the other verses are worded here, and then what it says, the eyes of the Lord, Yahweh, are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. This emphasizes the Lord, Yahweh's omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present. He's all-powerful. He's the God who his eyes are in every place. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's searching all hearts. His eyes are in every place. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. He's also everywhere present. In every place, his eyes are searching. And he's keeping watch on the evil and the good. He's all-powerful, and he's the judge. He reigns over all. And he distinguishes between who's evil and who's good. Which is true of us. In one sense, we all fall in the category of evil. We've all fallen short of living a life that gives glory to God. Romans 3. We have a sin nature that has really, Christians use the phrase total depravity, where it doesn't mean that we can't do anything good or a good act, but every aspect of our being has been corrupted by sin, and we've been cut off from a relationship with God. We're spiritually dead. We need a Savior. We need to be born again. We need to come to life in Christ. Which, as we go through these verses, begs the question, do you know the living Christ? Have you received forgiveness for your sins? Have you called on his name? Have you become spiritually alive because of our sin, our pride, our idolatry, our lust, our bitterness, our loving other things more than God, our living our lives? Paul says in Romans 14 that anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. We can do something outwardly that is good or moral, but if it's not a life lived by faith in God, it's sin. We've all fallen short. We all, in God's eyes, although he loves us, we're created in his image, we are more valuable than the animals, although he loves animals too. We also, the judgment is, we're evil. We have a sin nature. We need a Savior. And then when we call on the name of Jesus, we are called to follow him, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him, living according to the grace that we've received. In the Spirit's power, not our own strength. With the wisdom of Christ, not our own understanding. For the glory of God, not for the glory of ourselves. Hallelujah. So are we judged as evil or good? First of all, have we put our faith in Christ and been declared righteous, received as a gift, the salvation that God offers, that we experience in part now and in fullness when Jesus returns? And then are we living accordingly, a life that God determines is good, good works that God created us for in Christ Jesus, using the gifts that he's given us, bearing witness to the gospel, living righteously and justly and so forth? The eyes of the Lord keep watch. They're in every place. What's his judgment of us? Verse 4. A healing or perverse tongue, which is true of us. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. And the word gentle there has the idea of healing or being wholesome, calming, a remedy. A gentle, a healing tongue is a tree of life. But perversiveness in it breaks the spirit. The tongue of the wise is a tongue that is gentle and healing. It's a tree of life, the proverb says. The tree of life is found in Genesis 2 and 3 and Revelation 2 and Revelation 22. The other places in Scripture where you find it is here in Proverbs. For example, chapter 3, verse 18, chapter 11, verse 30, chapter 13, verse 12. And this tree of life has the idea of breathing into us righteousness
a righteous life, and where the idea is that the longings we have are fulfilled because the tree of life nourishes us and it protects us and it produces righteousness in us, and it represents this life that God intended for us from the beginning that we're going to be restored to in the end. And in the meantime, we are called to live such a life in this evil, fallen world. And part of what helps us embrace this tree of life, righteousness and fulfillment and so forth, is that you and I would have tongues that are gentle, that are healing, that bless one another. Gentle, healing tongues, not perverse tongues, not tongues of wickedness. And notice it says perversiveness in it, meaning in a gentle or healing tongue, breaks the spirit. Where people will use words surrounded with words of gentleness and healing, but within it is perversiveness. It's like the wolf in sheep's clothing. Where people will speak a lot of good things, but there's a perversive intent. It might be because of bitterness or jealousy. It might be just some people are just prone to evil and they thrive on evil. And that perversiveness, that wickedness in our speech breaks the spirit of people. Psychologically, emotionally. One of the most powerful things we can do to help one another in general and when we're on the verge of a complete breakdown is to have people in our life that speak gentle, healing words to us. How desperately we need that. When I was in high school and then into college in the summers, to make some money, I would do some painting. I spent one summer painting with a guy who had his own painting business. Ironically, his first name was Doug, but it wasn't Doug Velo. Then I did it the next couple summers with a couple of my friends. And one of those summers, one of our friends, Tom, got us a job painting for this elderly couple, this husband and wife in town. They had a house and they needed some painting. So we show up to start the job, and the wife throws open the screen door and just starts yelling at us. And I'd never met her. Tom had worked out the job for us. And I was really thrown back. And boy, was she upset. And I guess she was upset because we didn't come when she thought we were going to show up. And maybe we didn't. I don't know. I don't remember. But she was upset. But Tom especially responded with a lot of grace. And we did the job. And they evidently were quite pleased with our painting. I don't know how professional it was, but we got the job done. And you know, I just remember Tom, just the way he responded in that situation was very godly. He gave a soft answer when he could have responded with a harsh word. And he had gentle healing words in what he was saying. Well, sometime after that, and I found out about this after the fact, Tom got a call and was invited over to the house of this couple. And they were asking him to come over to celebrate with them because it was their 50th wedding anniversary. I don't think they had any kids, and they didn't have anyone to celebrate with them. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, who knows, maybe some of the loneliness or challenges that they had, where here they were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary and they had no one to celebrate with them. And I just, when I remember hearing that, and then in the contrast with how I first met her, it was like the Lord speaking into my life, not where we just are a doormat to be walked on, but just to recognize sometimes when people lash out, it's because they're hurting on the inside. And speaking a soft answer and a gentle healing word might just be what they need. And that's what Tom did. Verse 5. Despising instruction or heeding reproof. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. In Proverbs, we see that wisdom is gleaned in part through godly parents, fathers and mothers speaking into their children's lives. The father's instruction, the mother's teaching, Proverbs 1, verse 8. And this also goes beyond just parental instruction, but the instruction that we can get from those who disciple us and mentor us as we sharpen one another. The fool, however, despises the father's instruction. One reason that the mouth of the fool pours out folly is because he or she has despised the instruction that's being offered to him or her. It's foolish to despise instruction, godly instruction that's given to us. Instead, we should heed reproof, receive correction in our life, receive a rebuke, hopefully a loving one when it comes. And this, now going back to verse 1, where we need lots of soft answers. We also need gentle, healing words. But that doesn't mean we don't have words of reproof or rebuke or correct. We need those too. We see it right here in verse 5. Let's heed when we're given a word of reproof. When someone is seeking to correct us or discipline us, a prophetic rebuke, and hopefully it's spoken to us in love. And that also means we, at times, are the ones that are going to speaking up the word of reproof. We need it in our lives, we need it in the church, we need it in the culture. The prophetic voice, part of discipleship, is correction, reproof, discipline, rebuke, and so forth. But let's make sure that, first of all, we are a people who receive it, we heed it, and then we offer it as God gives us opportunity and calls us to do so. Some people are just naturally good at this. I'm not. And those of you that know me probably know that. I have to work up if I need to speak a word of correction or so forth. It doesn't come naturally to me. Other people, it just comes real natural. And maybe their challenge is to speak more soft words or gentle words. This is why we need the body of Christ, among other reasons. To speak to one another all the words that God has for us. Verse 6. Righteous treasure or sinful trouble? Which are we pursuing? Which are we heeding and receiving? In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. Treasure includes wealth, but biblically speaking, it includes all the good things that God has for us. First and foremost, God Himself, delighting ourselves in the Lord. But as we saw, I think, two Sundays ago, in our last Sunday in Proverbs, one thing it does teach is that as we seek to live a godly life, there are financial blessings that come with it. There's some truth in the prosperity gospel, as evil as it is. Now, at the same time, following Jesus will cost us, sometimes financially. Which is it? It's both. It depends on the context. But part of the reason there's a financial blessing that comes with living a godly life is because sin is costly, including financially. Sin can cost us. But there is treasure, there is treasure in the house of the righteous, much treasure. The good things that God has for us. The God who did not withhold His own Son, how will He not graciously give us all things that we need? Paul appeals to a similar principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 about generous giving, and that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and that all that we need for righteousness will be given to us by God. And he himself had learned how to be content in every situation, whether in plenty or when he was lacking and going without. But which represents our lives? A righteous treasure, where the good things that we have are because of righteousness, God's grace at work in our lives, and we are living, we are walking in obedience, and there's a treasure that comes with it, which at times will include a financial blessing. It'll include the friendships we have, the open doors that God gives us, the closed doors that God closes for us, that He doesn't want us going in. Blessings of healing, His grace that carries us through sickness and physical suffering when maybe He doesn't heal us, but He carries us through, or we're able to speak a word of comfort and so forth to others. But all the rich treasure that comes, seeking a wise life. And then, in the context here, out of which rises the tongue of the wise. Soft answers, gentle healing words, and godly reproof rising out of a people who has a righteous treasure in our lives. And we are avoiding sinful trouble. Trouble, trials, tribulations, they're coming. They're already here. We've already gone through them. But what we don't want to do is live in a way where it invites more. And where that trouble that comes is because of our own sin. Trials and tribulations come with the godly life. They come with just living in a fallen world. But here the emphasis is that trouble befalls the income of the wicked. Those who are going to live a wicked life, they're going to seek to prosper through wickedness. Trouble will befall them. Now, at times it might seem like they're getting away with it. And sometimes even for a long period of time. God is sovereign in how he chooses to work in people's lives and how long he lets something go. But ultimately, everything will be judged. Last verse, 7. The lips of the wise are the hearts of fools, which is true of us. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. The wise is someone who commends knowledge, appraises it, approves it, and then also here in verse 7, spreads it. The lips of the wise spread knowledge. The lips of the wise are not pouring out folly. They are commending knowledge and they're spreading it with a soft answer, not a harsh word. Commending knowledge, not pouring out folly or foolishness. Out of a life that is good, not evil, by God's grace. Gentle, healing tongue without perverseness in it. Heeding reproof, not despising instruction. Righteous treasure, not sinful trouble. The lips of the wise, spreading knowledge. In contrast to the hearts of fools and the trouble that they bring. The hostility that increases with the words of their mouth. The despising of instruction and so forth. How precious are the words of Proverbs. Let's be a people who embraces the tongue of the wise, who rejects the mouth of the fool, whose words rise out of a people who, by God's grace, are loving Jesus, we're loving one another, we're loving our neighbors, we're loving our enemies. We've embraced the way of servanthood. We have a godly tongue with soft answers, gentle healing words, and at times reproof, rebuke, correction, discipline. So that we would be a people whose tongue represents wisdom, who's rejecting the folly that pours out of the mouth of the fool. Let's pray.